I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Dear friends, there have been people who have become infamous because of one single thing that they have done. For instance, you can think of President Bill Clinton. Most people would agree that during his presidency, our country was thriving, it was improving. And yet people only really remember Clinton because of his inappropriate relationship with Monica Lewinsky. You can think of O.J. Simpson. He was one of the best football players of his day. He was a movie actor, and yet people only remember him because of the murder trial of his ex-girlfriend. There may be individuals in your own family, maybe former friends, that because of one action, you don't remember all the good things they have done, but you only remember them because of that one thing. You can only view them in that way. And so with these individuals and what they have done, we can think, well, that's what you get. You deserve us to think this way of you because of what you have done. We could even do the same thing with Jacob in this account. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Jacob isn't going on a vacation. Jacob isn't traveling to Haran just for the sake of traveling to a new place. Jacob is running away and fleeing for his life. But why is Jacob running away and fleeing for his life? Well, to answer that question, we really have to look at all of Jacob's life, even beginning before he was even born. Jacob's mother, Rebekah, when she was pregnant, realized that something was wrong. And so she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to her and told her that she wasn't pregnant with just one son, but she was pregnant with twins. And these twins were already fighting against each other in her womb. But more importantly, the Lord told Rebekah that the older son would serve the younger. It would be the younger son who would give, or who would get, the birthright. Normally, it's the oldest son who gets the birthright, the double portion of their parents' inheritance. But what makes this birthright so special was that it contained the promise of a Savior. So it was the Lord's will that Jacob, the younger son, would get the birthright and not Esau, the older son. But Isaac, their father, was about to go against the Lord's will. You see, Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. It's because Esau was this outdoors man. He loved hunting. So when Isaac became old, and he could barely see anymore, he decided to give the birthright to Esau. He told Esau to go out hunting, to prepare a meal for him, and when he would come back, Isaac would bless him and give this birthright. Rebekah, the mother, heard about this, and she convinced Jacob to deceive their own father. He put on Esau's clothes so that he would smell like Esau. He put goat skins on his arms and on his neck so that if his father would touch him, he would feel like Esau because Esau was a very hairy man. And so Jacob deceived his own father. He put the matter into his own hands and he took the birthright for himself. When Esau heard about this, he became furious with Jacob, and he vowed that when their father died, he would kill Jacob. When Jacob hears about this, he runs for his life. He flees. And considering how he uses a rock to sleep upon, you can say that his life had hit rock bottom. He is all alone. He has nothing but the clothes on his back. And he doesn't know what is going to happen to him. And so you and I can look at Jacob and say, well, that's what you get. You deserve this because you deceived your own father. Because of your actions, you tore your family apart. Instead of leaving things in the hands of the Lord, you took matters into your own hands. Therefore, this is what you get. And certainly we can say that way about Jacob. But this also applies to you and to me. How many times did we not leave things in the hands of our Lord that he would take care of them, but we took the matters into our own hands? Instead of being content with the things that the Lord has given us, because of our selfish, covetous desires, we can steal money from our parents' wallets when they aren't looking. We can deceive people in order to receive what we want. Or maybe we know the individual that has what we want and we take it from them, thinking they're not going to notice if it's gone. Or they don't even deserve this thing in the first place. They won't appreciate it as much as I will. Instead of thanking God for the lives that we have and for the gifts that he has given us, we can become jealous of others because they seem to be so much more popular, so much more gifted. They have it all. And so because of our jealousy, we try to ruin their reputation. Maybe we have succeeded in ruining their reputation, or maybe they came to us with the secret, trusting that we would keep it. But instead, we stab them in the back by exposing that secret just so that we could make ourselves look better. And so because of our actions, we may have torn our families apart. Because of what we have done, relationships have been ruined. Because of our selfishness, friendships have ended. These are the consequences for what we have done. These are the sufferings that we can experience because of our sins. And yet, instead of accepting those consequences and confessing our sins to God, we can point the finger at God and blame him. We can say, Lord, this is all your fault. Lord, I never would have done this if you just made my life happier. Lord, I would not have done those sinful things if you would have just given me what I wanted. And it is this relationship with God that we have ruined and torn ourselves apart from. Our sins separate us from God. And the complete consequence of those sins is to suffer, not only in this life, but for all eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. That is what we should get. But what does the Lord do? What does he do for Jacob? When Jacob is all alone, filled with worry about what is going to happen in his life, he eventually falls asleep and he has a dream where a staircase comes down to earth. Angels are ascending and descending upon it, and the Lord is there at the very top. And so here, we notice that it's not Jacob who brings himself to God. It is the Lord who brings himself to Jacob. And that applies to us as well. We didn't bring ourselves to the Lord. We couldn't bring ourselves, nor did we desire to bring ourselves to the Lord. For Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The Lord brings himself to us, and that is what we get. We get the Lord himself. But as the Lord appears to Jacob, what does he do to him? After all, this is Jacob who deceived his own father. This is Jacob who has torn his family apart because of his actions. Does the Lord appear to Jacob to condemn him? The Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. The Lord is reminding Jacob who God truly is. He is the God of his father Abraham and Isaac. This is the God who has promised to make their descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. But why would the Lord promise that to Jacob? Not because he earned or deserved it, but because the Lord is the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is what Jacob needed to be reminded of, and so do we. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not punish us for the wrongs that we have committed. Rather, he forgives us. He is compassionate to us. He is patient with us. His love and faithfulness abounds with us for all eternity. And so this is what we get. We get the Lord who loves us. But that is not the only thing that the Lord says to Jacob here. I am with you and will watch over where you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Even though Jacob was running for his life because of his actions, the Lord promises that he will be with Jacob. He will not leave him. He will not forsake him. He would take care of him and bring him back to this land that Jacob was running away from. And even though it took 20 years for that to happen, during those 20 years, the Lord greatly blessed Jacob. And when Jacob finally met with his brother Esau again, the Lord was with him to help him. For Esau was no longer angry with Jacob, but he welcomed him back. This is what Jacob got, and this is what we get as well. The Lord is always with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He protects us. He blesses us with every good and perfect gift from above. He never leaves us, nor does he ever forsake us. And so this is what we get. We get the Lord who loves us over all things. But there's one thing that the Lord mentions here that is the most important. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. All peoples on earth were blessed through Jacob because the one offspring that came from his line was Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we have been blessed through that as well. For everything that the Lord did for Jacob and the Lord does for us, we find that perfectly in Jesus Christ himself. We didn't bring ourselves to him. He brought himself to us. And when he came, he did not come to condemn us. Rather, he came to save us. He didn't come down a heavenly staircase in all of his glory, but rather he came down sharing in our humanity by being born of the Virgin Mary. He never left us. He did not forsake us as our sins deserve, but rather, he endured the consequence of our sins. On the cross, the Lord left Jesus so that he would be punished for the wrongs that we have done. And so the consequence, the result of what Christ has done, is God's forgiveness for us. This is what we get: eternal blessing and eternal life through Christ. Not because we have earned or deserved it, but because God is gracious and compassionate with us. After Jacob woke up from his dream, he was amazed and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Jacob praised God for everything that the Lord promised to him. Jacob thanked the Lord that the Lord would always be with him. And so with this assurance that the Lord was with him and promised to bless him, Jacob continued on his travels, knowing that the Lord would bring him back. And for us, who get so much from the Lord, we say, "Lord, this is what you get. Lord, you get my adoration. For I praise you because you are my God and my Savior. Lord, you get my confession. I do not deserve anything from you, but forgive me for Jesus' sake. Lord, you get my thanksgiving. Help me to be content with all the blessings that you give me, and may my life give you praise and thanks for what you have done. Lord, you get my supplication. For I know I can turn to you no matter what is happening in my life, for you are always with me, and you will never forsake me." This is what the Lord deserves, and this is what he gets from us. Therefore, dear friends, when it seems like your life has hit rock bottom, when we suffer consequences because of our actions, remember what we get. We get the Lord who does not treat us as our sins deserve. We get the Lord who forgives us. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He helps us. He restores us. He blesses us. And in return, let us give to the Lord what he deserves to get: our praise and our admiration. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.